Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 204.
Woo!
There was one time, if I can just peel back the curtain here before we get started, that Jamie didn't send me the beginning of her recording because I record on my end and she records on her end, and then she sends me the audio, and we were missing like the first, I don't know, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a woo, so I had to take a woo from an old episode.
Old woo.
Yeah, to make it sound like I had the audio from that episode.
Flawless.
So if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran The Morning Show. And that other person I'm speaking to is Jamie from Light FM in New York. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
We are only going to be doing an episode recap of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 2. We are not going to be talking about World Beyond this week as far as the episode because I jumped ahead an episode last week. I apologize.
Yeah, you did.
A special apology and a thank you to Casey Miller on Twitter. The Sax Man 64. I don't know if that means you play the sax, Casey, and you were born in 1964, but whatever the case, you wrote, your last episode recapped both Exit Wounds and Family is a Four-Letter Word. I did. I'm not even sure I recapped Exit Wounds so much as I just kind of blurred through it.
We kind of like did a mishmash of all the episodes together.
When the show gets great, I'll spend more time on it. Right now, it's all right. If you guys want more World Beyond, let me know. But right now, I think we're doing the right amount, especially with Fear. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jamie, there was no Talking Dead this week, correct?
Okay, so it's not just me. I was looking for it, and I'm like, I don't see it.
So I don't know if it's one of those where they're only going to do the first few episodes, and then, or they took the week. I didn't see any notification. I didn't look. I have to be honest with you, I did not look carefully enough. And so I could search Twitter right now. Maybe I should do that and just see if they mentioned it. I went to watch it and it wasn't there.
Same
is right. Well, that's weird. What did you find out about Talking Dead?
So Talking Dead actually will not be back until November 28th.
Oh, that's bullshit. Hardwick, what are you doing?
I know, and he didn't even give us a heads up. Oh, hey guys, I'm gone for over a month. Bye.
All right. Hold on. Oh, yeah, on Twitter, it said that last week they tweeted, we'll be back November 28th. That's not really a month and a half. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was planned. I mean, they must have been planned, but they didn't say anything on the end of the episode. I don't think they did last week.
Oh, we're gone
for a month and a half.
Yeah, bye.
That's totally turning your back on Fear the Walking Dead and World Beyond. That's what that's doing.
a little bit.
Yeah, that, you know, that's like, so nobody's watching it because nobody cares about these shows. That's hurtful. That's like us not doing an episode. We're trying our best. We're here, Hardwick. Let's go.
Yeah, we're here.
I'm sure it's not Chris's decision. He didn't just have a baby this week where he's taken off like a month. He had a baby a couple months ago?
No, she's only 5.5 months pregnant
currently. Oh, right. She's pregnant. She didn't even have the baby. So what up?
Yeah, so what are you doing?
I mean, hope everything's all right, but
I would think so. I hope so.
Well, not everything is all right because there's no new episodes of Talking Dead.
That's true.
My God, is this how you guys feel when we don't do new episodes of Walkers and Talkers?
Like we're freaking out.
Yeah, I feel bad now when we miss episodes. Now, as a fan, I'm on the fan side now going, where are new episodes? And you guys are always like, hey, where are your new episodes? And I always say, oh, we're trying. Are we taking off? There's going to be a week or so where we take off. I know the week of Thanksgiving we're not going to work.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. So I don't, okay. There you go. Sorry, everyone. But now I feel your pain.
We love you, though. Thank you.
Okay. We have a lot of news to talk about. If you don't mind, I will kick off the news, if that's right, Jamie.
Sure.
World Beyond showrunner Matt Negrete confirmed that since the Civic Republic military, the CRM, has appeared on all three shows, we can expect to see a little something by the show's end that connects to Fear the Walking Dead. He says in an interview, there's something with Fear that could be a little bit of a tie-in towards the end of the season. I won't give too much away. It's something that isn't a huge thing, but it really is something else that we put into the end to make sure that it really felt like we're honoring the connectivity between all of the shows. The CRM is a larger organization, but they're not so large that different soldiers may or may not even know each other.
Wow.
So people may know each other, okay. There's definitely some connections there. I won't say too much more about it other than we'll honor some of those connections with Walking Dead and Fear. So I'm telling you now, here's my prediction. In order for there to be a crossover of some kind, because remember, we've discussed this, World Beyond is in the same time frame as The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Which is almost 8 years ahead of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen the CRM in 8 years ago only twice.
That's true.
The season finale of Fear, when because Isabel, well, not the season finale, but Isabel is in the CRM. She's Al's buddy, girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
And we've seen CRM 8 years ago when else? When Jadis rescued Rick 8 years ago. Okay? Mm. So the only way there could be a crossover with the CRM and Fear is if Isabel runs into Jadis 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Isabella is a... Wait a minute. I just thought of something. Isabel is a helicopter pilot. I don't remember if we saw the helicopter pilot that saved Rick.
No, we never saw a face.
How cool would it be if it was Isabel?
Oh, my God. That's crazy. No, you're right. We never actually saw who took him.
Right? I don't think it was a man. I don't remember them showing who it was.
They didn't.
So what if it was Isabel as the pilot from the Walking Dead episode? Or what about when they land, Isabel is there to meet the helicopter because she's part of the helicopter team. But
that
we don't
totally
see Rick get off
happened.
The helicopter. Or yeah. We see Jadis walking into like the airport or the hangar or something, having just dropped off Rick. And maybe we see the helicopter, but not Rick. And we see Jadis and Isabel.
Hmm.
Right? That would be Fear crossing over.
Absolutely.
With World Beyond and The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Right? Because he says we're going to see Fear, which would be Isabel, crossing over World Beyond, which would have to be Jadis. But it would have to be 8 years ago haircut Jadis, not new shaved head Jadis.
It would be up Jadis.
It would be, right. It would be, well, what's her real name?
Anne.
It would be Anne, right. It would be post Jadis. So how about that? That's my prediction. Is that fair?
Mind blown.
All right. What do you got, Jamie?
Well, Fear considered actually showing the zombie baby from this past episode, but
no,
they thought.
Oh, and they didn't? I want to see a zombie baby.
And they didn't. So this is what showrunner Ian Goldberg said. He said, ultimately, it came down to, and this is just our personal sensibility, we thought it was more powerful to kind of imply rather than show. We thought that just seeing the bag move and hear the growl inside, let the audience imagine for themselves what might be inside the case. For our taste, that was even more powerful than showing the actual baby. I kind of want to just, I'm a sicko. I just kind of wanted to see it a little bit, but we didn't.
Yeah. We still haven't, I mean, we still have, for some reason, have never seen a walker baby.
Never.
Now, if a walker baby crawls, then the walker, I mean, if the baby crawls.
Oh my God,
crawls,
that's terrifying.
Then the walker would crawl. I want to see that. I want to see that.
We're
I was
sick.
Hoping Grace gave birth to a walker, but she did not.
I know. I was waiting for that, but that did not happen.
Give us that.
Give us just one time.
Bastards.
One time.
Bastards, I say. It's not fair. I think we deserve Walker Baby.
At least out of all the seasons, just at least one to peek
ooh,
at.
Ooh, Walker Baby Texas Ranger. How about that? No?
So many visuals in my head.
Yeah, the little baby kicking ass in Texas. They're in Texas.
They are.
So Walker Baby Texas Ranger. It's all right there in front of them.
That's their new show.
That's it.
Walker Baby Texas Ranger.
I'm in. Okay, so a character from World Beyond, from the CRM, from one of the recent episodes, Dr. Ellis, who's working with, he's one of the teachers. He's the gray-haired guy that was with Hope, he taught Hope's class, and is part of the Dr. Bennett team, right, working on trying to find a cure. Do you remember when he was mentioned on The Walking Dead?
I don't, actually.
Well, it was on a bus ride to Washington, D.C. in season 5 of The Walking Dead. Eugene mentioned Dr. Ellis, the smartest man I ever met. Happened to love my hair. My old boss, T. Brooks Ellis, the director of the Human Genome Project, he said my hair made me look like, and I quote, a fun guy. That's the worst Eugene impression ever, but that's, so he talked
I hear
about
it.
That this guy was a superstar with genetics, and so they actually, since he exists in the world, they made him part of the team at CRM.
Whoa.
And by
That's
the
awesome.
Way, it's technically CR, the Civic Republic.
Yes.
I keep saying they're at CRM. They're at CR, which they've mentioned on the show. I just keep saying CRM because the military is also there. So I'm going to go both types, both descriptions. So don't get all, don't be mad.
But you're giddy.
Don't get mad at me. I know it's CR, but I'm saying CRM as a catch-all because the CRM is at the CR, the Civic Republic.
Okay.
He's at the Civic Republic. What do you got, Jamie? Keep going.
Well, from insider.com, there was an interview with Lenny James. So your friend, Kristen Acuna.
Kirsten?
Kirsten. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Kirsten Acuna.
You know how she gets, even though I've never met her.
I know how she gets. Kirsten Acuna asked him, since you were the only person right now in the Walking Dead universe who was on the series pilot, when you heard this news, what did you think? Oh, they may want to have me back for the final season. And then she asked him, would you want to be back at all?
Oh, this is about the show being canceled.
The show being canceled.
Right.
So then Lenny James said, I did have that conversation, yes. But that's all. That's about as much as I can say.
Wow.
Which is a non-answer.
Okay. So in order for Lenny James to be on The Walking Dead, it would either have to be a flashback or it would have to be eight years in the future, which means he can't die on fear because he'd have to live long enough to make it to The Walking Dead 8 years later.
Well, he doesn't die, so that would make
sense.
Don't
die. I did read an interview with him, I think on comicbook.com, where he said, you know, he's committed to Grace and the baby, but if he found out Rick was in trouble, he would have a hard time not leaving.
Oh, I agree with that statement.
Remember, fear is roughly in the timeline of when Rick disappeared.
Yes.
Right? Because it's all roughly the same period. Roughly. Give or take a couple of months
here
or there. Yeah. Yeah. Happy anniversary, Jamie.
Oh, for what?
October 23rd. Today's the 26th as we're recording this. October 23rd, 2016. 5 years ago, the episode, season 7 premiere, The Day Will Come When You Won't Be. That's when Negan was officially introduced, and he introduced Lucille to Abraham and Glenn. Spoiler.
Oh, you had to go there.
5 years.
Man, five. What the hell?
Uh-huh. All right, let's not harp on that. What else you got?
Okay. So, you know, in Fear, people are stripping the walkers.
Yes.
So who is stripping the walkers?
Perverted bastards.
Yes. So showrunner Andrew Chambliss said, we will learn who has been stripping the dead and we will learn why they're doing it. He said, I will say it is not the CRM. And the reason for stripping the dead is driven by reasons that are much more personal than anything under which the CRM operates.
Oh, so they're perverts. That's what I said.
Well, it's personal, whatever it is.
It's got to be one of these freaky groups that you know, they need to take their clothing off so that they're no longer tied to their human, you know, who they were. Or these people know them and they don't want them walking around in the clothing that ties them to who they were when they were alive. It's got to be some freak who just can't, like, accept the fact that
they can't accept it.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
I'm sick to my stomach. You got anything else? Because I don't have any more news.
Well, Beta is actually the first Walking Dead character to appear on all three shows. So
okay.
I know you're wondering.
Your boy Ryan Hurst, you obsess about.
My boy Ryan Hurst. Yeah, he's kind of good looking.
I know this one, but go ahead. I know this one.
Okay. So some of you may be wondering, well, where did he turn up? So this week on World Beyond, Silas and Dennis are working in the CRM Decontamination Center, and Eagle Eye fans spotted a copy of Beta's album, Half Moon Live in Concert, which also appeared on The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And then also in the season 10 flashback episode, we half see Negan's wife, Lucille, shout out to Hillary Burton Morgan, wearing a Half Moon concert t-shirt.
Yep, when she was in bed.
When she was in bed and she was sick.
Yep.
And in the fifth season of Fear, we see his face maskless on the cover of a vinyl record owned by country music fan none other than Daniel Salazar.
Oh, right, when they dropped the records on the ground.
Yes.
That was the first time when I was like, that's Beta.
That's Beta. So
that's
he's been
Ryan
in
Hurst.
All three shows. Yeah.
Oh, look at him. Yeah, no one from World Beyond. Yeah, because Jadis hasn't been on Fear. She's been on two shows. Dwight's been on two shows. Sherry's been on two shows.
Morgan's
been on two shows. So yeah. So I do have a little bit of news.
Oh,
there's
okay.
a sneak peek trailer for season 11 of The Walking Dead from the second part of the 3-part season.
Ooh, a sneak peek?
But fuck you, trailer guy. Unless they're faking it. Unless they're trying to trick us. I'm not going to tell you the details, because if you don't want to see it, you don't have to. I'm not going to spoil anything. But they show a lot of scenes of, like, filming. So they show scenes being played out with the cameras, like you see behind, like you're behind the cameras watching it being filmed. But then they show a couple of scenes from the episode where Daryl's talking to Leah. So obviously they meet after the big arrow firing situation.
Oh, yeah, those firework things.
They don't show Negan, but I'm pretty sure they show... Well, I'm not going to say what else they show. But there's a scene where they show a regular cast member.
Okay.
Who's not at Commonwealth. And then they show a bunch of Commonwealth soldiers on horses riding towards something. And they make it look like they're riding towards wherever the regular character from The Walking Dead is located.
Oh.
But you don't see them both in the same shot. So they show the person. Then they show the CRM on horses. Then they show the person saying, something's coming. But you don't know if it's the same scene.
Same scene, which they do like to do that to us. They like to mind F us like
that. It could be one of those fakes. Or it could be that Eugene gave up the beans. In which case, fuck you, trailer guy.
I still don't know if he gave up the beans. I'm very curious.
Well, this sort of implies a little bit.
He gave them up?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm not going to get no details.
He gave up the beans.
He may have, handed over the family jewels. He may have coughed them up.
He is a selfish man.
Well, he's out for his own safety. But remember, they promised him the world. They promised him that his people would be safe. And plus, he was about to get punished again for punching the bratty son of Pamela Milton.
Yeah, that was not going to end well.
No, not going to end well. Okay, let's talk about Fear, the episode 6 hours. I know the episode after that is available, but I'm not reviewing that yet because a lot of you haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
So, 6 hours. Did you like it?
I thought it was a little much and like a little unrealistic, but overall I did like it.
Well, which part was unrealistic? The part that kept taking their masks off in a nuclear holocaust and they didn't die?
Yeah, and they let their dog run around.
Or the fact that they shot out, I'll tell you what they shot out later, but there was so much bullshit. The dog must be immune to radiation the same way the horses are.
I know. When I saw the dog, I'm like, oh, the horses that you talked about.
I think the whole point is for them, they just want us to go, just play along. Just play along. No one's going to notice the dog. I'm sure the dog is fine.
We noticed the dog.
Yeah, I noticed the dog. Bastards. All right. Okay, so Morgan and Grace are in the submarine. Again, somehow they survived the radiation along with the dog when they were outside when the bomb went off. The radiation, I guess, did not travel fast enough, even though the wind did. Remember the wind?
The wind sure did. Oh,
but that's
yeah.
Okay, because they hid behind a tire. Oh, and there's lots of tire bullshit, by the way, in this episode. A lot of
yes, there is.
Before I get to that, I'm going to take I'm going to backtrack a second because I forgot a couple of shout-outs. Juan Vasquez, a regular listener of this podcast, the Elvis Duran Morning Show, and of course the Brooklyn Boys, noticed that on yesterday's episode, October 25th, you could see it on at Elvis Duran Show of the 15-Minute Morning Show, I wore my new Walkers and Talkers t-shirt.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh!
To which Nelson Ocasio replied, I received mine today. So thank you.
I just got mine yesterday.
I know you did because you were away. Marcus DC, love you, buddy. He sent me a picture. I got mine. Where's yours? Brooklynboys.bigcartel.com.
Oh, awesome.
And Frank Maltalvo DM'd me a picture. Loving my new shirt.
Yay. Thank you guys for ordering.
And he sent the picture of his Walkers and Talkers shirt. And I'm going to post that on my Instagram story at some point. Remember, if you buy merch and send us a picture of it, post it on your social media.
Yes.
I will repost it on mine.
And me too.
And the
us,
Walking
yes.
Dead account. The Walkers and Talkers account. Not the Walking Dead account.
Okay, yeah.
Our Walkers yes. and Talkers account.
Ours.
Walkers _ Talkers. And of course, at David Brody and at The Talking Jamie. So thank you for your support. Again, if you have the shirt, I know there's more people because I know how many sold. And it was a bunch of them. Let's get those pictures posted. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's add. Okay, back to the episode. So Grace goes out looking for food in her nuclear hazmat suit. Everything is yellow and dreary.
Oh, it's so bad looking.
I'm sorry.
There.
As a fan watching the show, it's depressing me.
Yes. I normally never get super depressed on the show, but today watching that episode, I was like, this is really
like, it's not claustrophobia. Dark. It's sort of that feeling of like your chest gets a little heavy and you're like, ugh.
It's like total defeat.
You know how the ratings went down for The Walking Dead after Glenn and Abraham 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Then there was that feeling of like the saviors just crapping on our fan
our
favorites.
People.
Our people. And it was like, oh, yeah. That's what this, they better get rid of this radiation fast. I need to see more scenes with Strand where they're safe.
Yeah.
You know, if everything's going to be indoors and bottled up, I'm not loving that. Not loving it.
Everything outside is orange.
Orange or yellow? Bleh.
Ugh.
She finds a strip mall, and she goes into some store where there's actually a mouse alive. She sees fresh blood on a pole, right? But they never explain where the blood came from. Did
nope,
you notice
never
that?
Do.
And there's noise coming from the back room. She tries to catch the mouse and fails, so the mouse gets away. She finds containers of baby food and hears the noise again. And so she panics, and the whole, it's one of these shelves that you can tilt down and take out of the wall. So you can adjust the height of the shelves. The whole shelf tilts down.
Could she have made any more noise on the planet?
Right. The man and woman come running in now. They don't see her.
No.
Right? They walk right up. They lean on. They get down on the floor to pick up baby food. And they don't see her.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, they take the baby food.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right?
And I'm thinking to myself, this baby food's been sitting there for months, right? And there's a nuclear holocaust. People are dying for food. It's even in the zombie apocalypse, why would there ever be any food left in a store after so many years?
There wouldn't be.
But in an apocalypse like this, how is there food left?
Double apocalypse. I can't say the word.
Apothecary table. It's apothecary table. Yeah, from days of yore. Shout out Friends. Okay, so I'm calling coincidence bullshit. So we've already established that they've been in that submarine at least a couple of months, right? I mean, the baby's not huge, but
she's getting bigger.
Right, and the baby crawls. So the baby's at least a few months old, right, to crawl.
Yeah, about 6-7 months.
They crawl after like 3 months because they can turn over and yeah. And I've had 3 kids, but if I'm off, it's been a long time since
they were
babies.
You know more than me. I've had none. You've had 3.
You have none that you know of.
None that I know. No, I would know.
I would think, yeah. So here's my coincidence bullshit on this. Nuclear holocaust, right? Zombie apocalypse. Nobody has walked in there looking for food. And at the same moment that Grace goes out in the storm, these people are in the same building of all the buildings in all the directions you could possibly go.
Taking the baby food.
Right. Now, this is the part I'm not sure about. I don't know how far Grace was when she walked. If she drove the distance, it probably was a 15-minute car ride. But she walked like 2 hours to this place.
Yeah, she walked a long time.
Which would be like a 15-minute car ride, maybe. I could do the math, but roughly 20 minutes, whatever it is. These men and women had, from what we they had gas masks on, right?
Yeah.
They were looking for baby food. That's not the couple we see later that doesn't have a baby anymore.
That's what I first thought, but it's not.
Right. It's another rando couple. So they don't see her. They shoot the rat because they're afraid of it rather than think to eat it.
Well, it's probably contaminated.
Right. So, well, wouldn't the baby food also be contaminated? Yes, because when they leave and they don't see Grace there, she uses her Geiger counter on the one there's one can of baby food they didn't take. I'm not sure why you wouldn't take all of them.
Yeah.
And it's high in radiation. Of course it is.
Yeah.
She runs out. She starts yelling, I'm here. I'm right here. Like, you found me. Come get me.
Come kill me.
And she runs outside and they're gone. Now, there was no car. There was no car tire. There was no tire tracks. And so I was thinking to myself, did she imagine them?
I think with those gas masks on and the way it covers her head, they probably were far enough away they just didn't hear her.
Maybe. Then she starts screaming she doesn't want to be here anymore. And she's playing with the hood of her jacket. And for a second, did you think she was going to pull her mask off?
Oh, 100%. I'm like, yeah. Uh-oh, here it comes.
Yeah, they totally wanted us to think that. All right, so she gets back to the submarine. And that's when we learn that 6 hours is the longest they can be outside for. I guess the radiation suits don't hold up well enough or they don't filter enough air.
Yeah, that's their time limit.
Yeah, so that's why the episode's called 6 hours. Shocker. Morgan says it's his turn. He heads out and he's back in exactly 6 hours. While he's gone, Grace very awkwardly tries to shut the baby up. It's crying like crazy. She's not bonding with it. He tells her to sing to the kid because that's what Dwayne liked. But she doesn't sing to it. She's just sort of not good with the baby. We find out later why, but that's what they're trying to show you. Anyway, she says, did you find any food? And he says, I didn't find any food, but I wasn't looking for it. Now, the baby is starving. They're starving. He wasn't out looking for food. He goes, but I was...
I'd be like, what the hell were you doing?
He says, I was working on something else. So they go outside, and I don't know how this is possible. I really don't. I'm calling bullshit on the whole thing. He got a car. It's an old Pinto, which in and of itself is at least 40 years old. And now it's gone through a zombie apocalypse where it's been mm-hmm. sitting outside. And there's a nuclear explosion and the car is still running.
How?
And somehow he puts these huge metal bumper guards on the front of it. If in fact he did, and he seals up the whole car, he says. Right? Did he weld them onto the front? With what blowtorch? How did he get those things to stay on there? Exactly.
So many questions.
So he says he's sealed up the car. So he plastic wraps the car and he duct tapes the car so that the air inside is safe for the baby. Okay? But unless you did that in an airtight room and sucked the radiation out of the car.
That's what I thought. I thought, where did you do this inside?
How did you get the air inside clean simply mm-hmm. by sealing it up? Mm-hmm. The inside would still have radiation.
That's what I thought.
But he managed to do this when there's no garage around. He built a car, souped it up, got diesel fuel from the submarine with
right.
what? What did you go over to the gas tank of the submarine and get gas out and she didn't notice
siphon
it?
Siphon it out.
And the Pinto runs on diesel fuel? What?
Yeah.
You're just going to brush over that? Oh, the Pinto, the Ford Pinto, is running on the same fuel that submarine, the nuclear submarine is running on. And isn't it nuclear powered? Isn't it running on nuclear energy? Don't tweet me. I don't really care enough. I'm just saying it out loud. I can go look it up. But it just seems weird to me that the sub runs on... How much diesel fuel can you have on a submarine that it wouldn't sink the sub?
Seriously?
Or sub the sink?
Sub the sink.
I have so many questions. He says, look, we can take the car and drive out of this nuclear fallout area. We should leave the submarine where we're safe, and rather than go looking for food, just drive out of this. Let's just find some new place to live. I have all the coordinates from the submarine of where the nuclear missiles fired and landed. We'll just go where they didn't land. Seems like a good plan, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the Walking Dead universe, is it not?
It is.
And what happens when you go on a car ride, Jamie?
Trees in the road, bodies in the road,
spikes,
in the road.
Nails, walkers. The brake cable snaps. Something is going to happen.
Your fuel tank gets shot.
They can't drive to their destination. It runs out of gas.
Yeah.
Something is going to happen where you're not getting to your destination. How do you not know that? How do you not know? You're on the show. Like you're in the world of The Walking Dead. You know, in the past how many years, not since the days of Glenn driving his Challenger into Atlanta and out of Atlanta, rather, that anyone gets where they're going. You're not gonna make it. Oh, I'm gonna call major bullshit when they don't make it. I gotta. Oh my god.
Oh, right. I can't wait.
We'll get to all of that and more. But right now, I'm gonna play the Chris Hardwick ID he did for us, the really long one, because
okay.
We don't get Talking Dead. So here's a little Chris Hardwick. We'll play some commercials. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Chris Hardwick. I host Talking Dead and Talking Preacher and Talking and Talking Things. And you're listening to Walkers and Talkers, the only talking show I don't host, with David Brody and Jamie.
All right, so we got to listen to Chris Hardwick a couple minutes ago.
Yay, we get to hear his voice.
You're all welcome, everybody. Give you a little taste of Chris Hardwick. All right, so they're in the car. Everything's fine, so you know that's not going to last. Morgan has a great idea. Let's put the cassette from her Walkman that she used to listen to with the baby all the time, and she used to play it for the baby. Let's put the cassette for a road trip into the cassette player. Right, the car is so old it has a cassette player. I would argue
bad idea.
It might have an 8-track player in it, but it's got a cassette player. And it's her unborn baby tape, and it's her talking to the baby. And she freaks out. Now, I'm not a mother who lost a child, so I can't comment on the way she reacted. But she got very upset, and she starts fumbling. Get the tape out! Stop it! Get the tape out! I know she's panicked, but has she never seen a cassette player in a car before that she can't push the eject button?
I was thinking, I'm like, where the hell's the eject button, lady?
She's hitting it like she's blind, and she's trying to feel up the face of it. Like
she was having a spaz.
Right. But then Morgan can't seem to eject the tape. He's like, I understand. I'll eject the tape for you. But he also can't eject it. You've driven a car before, Jamie.
Of course.
I've driven many cars before. When you're fumbling over the radio and you're fighting with your partner, even if it's not a negative fight, well, you should stop the car. Right? You're driving in the fog and the haze of a nuclear fallout. The windows aren't exactly clean on the car. You should probably stop, fiddle with the radio. But
also,
no.
Has anyone heard of the volume button? Just
right.
Turn it down.
Turn the volume off. Stop the car and turn the car off and open the door. The radio will go off unless it's hardwired to the battery. I understand that. So there's lots of ways they could have handled it, but they don't.
So let's handle it the worst way possible.
The way The Walking Dead handles it. Morgan crashes the car because he sees something up ahead. I don't see him hit the brakes, by the way. He turns the wheel hard and goes right into a wall of stuff.
Oh, my God.
And he runs over something that they focus in on so that you could see it bent the pipe. It bent the tire rim.
The rim.
The rim of the tire, right? The wheel. So good thing you put those giant bumper guards on the front of the car. Because they did no good except to plow
so
the boxes.
They did.
You still ran over something. So then he says, the rim is bent. I think I saw a body shop. Of course you did. Of course.
I was screaming bullshit when he goes, oh, I think I saw a body shop. Oh, did you now?
The minute you drove into town, right? You were going slowly. First of all, why would you drive into a town? What were you hoping to do? Stop and stay the night? You already know you can't be outside for more than 6 hours.
Yeah.
Why were they in the town? Why were they slowing down?
Haul ass on a highway, honey.
So he saw a body shop. Now, unless you know how to work the vice grips or whatever they use to heat and mold and fix a bent rim. But no, I'll get to the bullshit because, okay. She takes her mask off and says, go on without me. She says the car will get, like, basically implies the car will get better gas mileage. And the supplies will last longer without me. I'm okay to die. I never wanted the baby. It's not my baby. Never wanted the baby. Because Morgan's like, what about the baby? She's like, it's not my baby. So while they're arguing, perfect timing bullshit, a crazy couple with guns comes up on them. Because that's what happens when you drive into a town. There's going to be people there.
Hiding.
They tell them that baby Mo is in the car. And be careful, and that let's get our baby, because obviously they want to take the car and their belongings. And she says immediately, that's our baby, that's our Emma. Now, we already know the history of the baby. We know who the mother and father were.
Yeah, so I was like, what?
Also, I know that people adopt, and when I say adopt, I mean find babies and take them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to point this out, and I know she's crazy. I understand that. But for us, there's no chance of that we think it's their baby. Now, no, she's like, I want a baby, so it's my baby. I get that. But it just seemed like, come on. Come on.
Unstable.
So they're clearly insane. At this point, I'm thinking, how long before they're dead? Can we just kill them already? So they force Morgan to fix the tire on the car. And he does this by putting a new rim and a new tire on the car. Now, a couple of things have to happen. Jamie, I don't know how much you know about fixing cars and tires.
Oh, Lord, not much.
Either Morgan found a rim that happened to be the exact same size as a 1980s Pinto and a tire that fit on it, and he knows how to work the machinery to get a tire back on a tire rim, that he found the tire the same size as a rim from a 1980s Pinto.
The odds.
Or somehow he fixed the rim. Morgan fixed the rim of a car that's bent. Well, the car's not bent. The rim was bent.
The rim.
So now Grace says, look, I'm going to help you. I'm here to help you. I don't want you guys to die, so let's take care of the situation. So now she's back on board. Good thing these people came by. There are walkers outside the glass doors of the garage, and they're oozing something. The guy, the father, tells Morgan they're from the crater, I guess where the missile hit.
Yeah.
And if you hit them, they fall apart, and you don't want that stuff on you.
Ugh.
Grace goes over to the mom and starts bonding with her, like mom to mom. Plays music so the baby stops crying, because the father is not loving the noise that walkers are making, and he's not loving the noise that the baby's crying.
Nope.
So already there are signs the guy doesn't like noise very much. Morgan says, look, why don't we all go together in the car? I know a safe way to get out of there. And you guys have supplies. And the woman says, oh, you know about Padre? Remember Padre there. From last week?
Oh, I do with Will. What does
with
Padre
Will?
Mean?
Right. Morgan tricks the guy to be distracted for a second and takes the gun away because the guy's an idiot. But as he takes the gun away, he falls down. giving the guy enough time to run to the back of the car and jump in the hatchback.
My God.
Of the Pinto, pull it closed before Morgan can get up and shoot them. The wife is in the driver's seat. She stunt drives the car backwards through the garage door that splinters. Luckily, the garage door wasn't sturdy because most of them would have just bounced her ass.
Yeah.
Morgan yells at Grace, "You're just scared. You're just scared." Right? Like, now's really the time to tell her that she's...
This is not the time.
So he shoots out the back window of the car. Now it's no longer airtight, right?
Nope, not anymore.
Don't tell me later that you managed to airtight the car again, because the doors have been open already, right? They've got in it.
Oh, yeah, and they're infected, too.
So now they're off in the distance now, 100 yards away. Morgan manages with the rifle, because he's a marksman, to shoot the car, and it stops. We find out later he shot the tire, and they stop. I would have kept going, personally.
Yeah, keep going.
Even if the tire was shot, because... What's the difference? You're in an apocalypse. You ruined the tire. Big fucking deal. You're riding on dirt. You could have kept going. You wouldn't have to stop short. So Morgan grabs the guy from the car and throws him on the ground. Then the woman jumps on him. And then the guy grabs the baby and runs off. Morgan slams her to the ground. But then walkers are coming. So he saves her. And they all run towards some building that they barricade. There's wood planks. And somehow they have a hammer and nails. And they barricade the window up. Because, you know, they had a hammer and nails, you know.
Of course, you know, the bucket of nails.
In the supercar.
And a hammer.
Which, by the way, the producers of the show said was supposed to be a tribute to Mad Max and the apocalypse of Mad Max.
Yes.
So it was a Mad Max-looking vehicle.
A nod.
So the two of them have badly burned faces, and they said they were in a bomb shelter when the bomb went off. And I'm thinking to myself, did you run to a bomb shelter? Were you guys, like, preppers, ready to go? Or were you already in the bomb shelter waiting for the day when a bomb went off?
Yeah, because she was missing her nose.
The two of them explained how they gassed up a car and drove east to Louisiana because Morgan wants to drive east. But a storm brought the fallout in that direction and they didn't make it. Morgan asks, where were you going? And so they show them where Padre was. It's near a city called Victoria, which seems to be near the water in Texas, near the Gulf of Mexico on the eastern side. They said, we heard it was safe on the radio. So maybe they heard Alicia talking about it, or whoever Alicia heard on the radio was talking about it. This strikes me as Terminus Part 2, by the way.
Ooh.
You know, the community everybody heard was safe. Oh, we heard it was safe. So we all headed there.
And it's not.
You know it's not. You know Padre has to be. I have a feeling like Padre is a cult leader. Like Teddy.
Oh.
Like he's the all father. Like
He's the guy.
He's the David Koresh or the Teddy guy. Yeah, no good is coming from Padre. I'm sorry. So they say to them, look, bring your supplies and you guys can come back with us to the submarine. And so I'm thinking to myself, if the car was drivable, why did they stop the car short? Right? Why did they stop?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cut to Morgan putting another new tire on the car.
And it fits a 1980s Pinto perfectly.
Now, I know that tire sizes haven't changed. The tires could be the same, but a little body shop. First of all, body shops don't stock thousands of tires. They don't. So you're telling me that a car was being repaired at the body shop that happened to have the wheels taken off? All right? Of the same size tire you happen to need?
Come on now.
God, tire bullshit. Morgan says, I want to go to Padre, not the submarine. You can come with us. Grace wants to go back to the sub. A car pulls up in the distance with its lights on, with lights on the roof, kind of creepy. And a person steps out of the car looking like they're wearing some kind of body armor.
Yeah, like military gear or something.
Morgan yells, don't come any closer or I'll shoot you. And the person keeps walking.
He was not playing because he shot his ass.
He shot him twice. And on the third shot, the guy fell down. Oof. Maybe because whatever you're wearing, even if it's Kevlar, you still feel the brunt of the bullet.
Of course.
Not from personal experience. I just know stuff.
Oh, you just know these things.
Right. We don't see him again for a while. They leave the crazy father with the baby, and I don't know why, but he's in the room with Grace and the baby, and he's outside with the woman putting the tire on the car, and he says to her, your baby's dead. You have to admit, like, your baby's gone, and it'll help you with the trauma of you thinking that their baby is her baby. You have to come to grips with the baby being dead.
Yeah.
Morgan notices there's something alive in the suitcase.
Oh, and here it is. Little tiny.
Sorry, baby walking.
Oh, that's like sadly cute.
Thank you. Or cutely sad.
Cutely sad.
So Morgan gets out of the car and shoots into the suitcase.
Oh.
And kills it and tells her she needs to move on and get over the fact that Emma is dead. Because now Emma is doubly dead.
Oh, Emma dead for sure now.
She's rambling how the baby wouldn't stop crying. The baby wouldn't stop crying. So then she says, Fred couldn't, Fred, I think is the husband, couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the crying. He wanted to make the baby stop crying. Then Morgan realizes this psychopathic bastard killed the baby.
Oh, shit.
Killed the baby.
Yes.
And he realizes, of course, Grace is back across the street in the building with the father.
And all Mo does is cry her ass off.
Right.
Whole time.
Which is driving the father insane. Now, Morgan can't get back to the house because all of a sudden there are walkers there between the building and Morgan. So he kills enough of them, and then I can't deal with this. Morgan finds a tin can attached to a string.
I saw this. I was like, this, stop it right now.
And he yells through the tin can to Grace, I know it's a small town, but why is there a tin can on a string for people outside to talk to people inside? I mean, coincidence, tin can coincidence bullshit.
We've never called tin can.
Never.
Never with the tin can.
I don't know how she hears him over the little tin can because the baby's crying. The father's trying to get the baby to shut up, but she hears him whispering in the tin can.
Yeah.
So she picks up the tin can, and I guess Morgan must have said he killed his own baby because it was crying. Stop him. Cut to him about to slow motion.
Yes.
Slow motion walking, creeping up on the baby. Wouldn't you like just go boom, put your hands on the baby?
It was really creepy the way he was like, okay, now it's going to be better now.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of killer is like slow motion so you can be stopped?
My God.
So we have to assume that he got the message to Grace because she shoots him dead.
Yeah.
Why she didn't yell, get away from the baby or I'll shoot, I don't know. It wasn't like he could have grabbed the baby fast that he could have shot him. She could have shot him. But she shoots him, not in the leg. She shoots him and kills him.
As she should have.
Now she realizes her motherly instincts have kicked in, and she now loves the baby. She picks up Mo and sings to her.
They have a bond.
They bond. She's finally accepted the baby. That's all it took. Remember, she wanted to kill herself, but then the bad guys showed up. So then she changed her mind. She hated the baby. The bad guy was about to kill it. Now she changed her mind.
Now she loves it.
Grace is a woman of conviction. So Morgan kills all the walkers. He miraculously gets the car ready and somehow fixes the back window.
Come on now.
Was there a windshield laying around the body shop that he knew how to install in a 1980s
Pinto?
Seriously.
Was Safe Flight Repair there?
Yeah, Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace.
Safe Flight Replace.
Not a commercial, not a sponsor.
No, they're not.
He notices the lights on the truck go out. So whoever it was he shot got back in the truck, but decided to turn the lights off.
Because that's not creepy.
Later on, we learned this is somebody bad. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
He leaves the woman, the mother, and drives off. I mean, she's dying anyway. Her face is gone. She's not long for this world.
Oh, God.
But she has no food and no protective gear. And at no point did they try to take the masks from Morgan and Grace. I guess they figured they were too far gone.
Way too far gone.
So they're driving off. Morgan says he feels bad about leaving her. And Grace says it's okay. She wants to spend what little time she has left with her husband and child. I'm thinking, yep, yeah, but they're both dead. And now the baby has a bullet hole in it.
The baby's dead too.
And and by this point, the husband's a walker unless Grace shot him in the head.
Yep.
Right? She's going to spend time with the dead family members?
That's what I thought. I was like, oh.
You know what this was? This was a way for Grace to say it out loud that she really wants to spend time with her man and baby.
Yeah.
For what little time she has left.
Yeah, you're
right. It's an obvious comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm done being the soothsayer and figuring all this out. Let's let's play another commercial. Should I play Chris Hardwick again?
Sure, why not?
Or should I play Michael Cutlets because it's the fifth anniversary of him getting...
Oh, yeah, it's the fifth anniversary. I think we need to do
all
him
right, I'll play
justice.
Michael Cutlets, one of the ones I haven't played in a while. Okay?
Yep.
Maybe the one he couldn't get right. Here we go. Michael Cutlets. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Michael Cutlets from The Walking Dead. I play Abraham Ford. You are listening to Walker. What the fuck are you listening to?
That's even better.
We're going to use that.
Okay. back on the submarine, Morgan and Grace come back, and they're surrounded by a bunch of guys in really cool nuclear safety suits. And the one guy, now, okay, they were gone, and they happened to come back at the same time.
Yeah.
This again, coincidence bullshit. The guy takes off his headgear, and it's Howard. It's nerdy Howard from the apartment.
My God.
Coincidence bullshit. Grace, for some reason, because Morgan is about to approach them, and she says, Morgan. Now, of course, that's all you needed, because then Howard says, Morgan Jones? As if there could not be another Morgan in the apocalypse.
How do you know that name?
So he tells him who he is, and that he's with Strand, and that Strand is alive, and Morgan's like, Strand's alive. And he says, yeah, and I know all about you guys. He says, Grace is welcome to come to the tower where Strand has developed a society, but Morgan, you are not. You didn't make the cut. So Strand has already made a list of people who, if they find them, are allowed in the building. Alicia, not allowed. Morgan, not allowed.
Damn, savage.
I'm going to call bullshit on this in a minute, but because it's coming up. I'm teasing the bullshit.
Okay.
So Howard, the way he talks about Strand, is now completely in Strand's cult.
Oh, 100%.
He's doing something you couldn't. He's giving us food and water and security. And he's sort of has an attitude towards Morgan, like he hates Morgan, but he has no reason to hate Morgan. Morgan's not a bad guy. Now, Strand may have told him Morgan's a bad guy, but he's acting like Morgan's a piece of shit. Grace says, I know what Strand did to Morgan, and I have no interest in going with you guys. Not going to happen. Morgan offers to give the baby to them, so the baby will have a safe place to live. And Grace says, no. No, baby's staying with us, and I'm not going. I'm turning down the offer. So now Morgan realizes, okay, she doesn't hate the baby anymore. She's team baby.
Team baby.
So then they're like, why did you guys attack us on the road? And he's like, we didn't, that wasn't us. We were on a scouting mission. They basically imply it wasn't them on the road who attacked them. So these pricks went through all the cabinets and took all the supplies.
Dicks.
And they turn and notice the baby is crawling for the first time. Oh, the baby's crawling.
Oh, Mo.
The baby is crawling on a rubber mat. And Grace, looking at the mat, says there's something under the mat. Now, at this point, you cannot see there's something under the mat. You can't.
You can't.
And why have they never looked under the mats in all the months they're living in a submarine?
Seriously, rip it up. Maybe there's a trapdoor or something.
Yeah. So they lift it up, and for some reason, there's storage in the floor of a submarine. I've never been on a nuclear submarine. I just would imagine they'd be in cabinets. I don't know, but it's the pantry, so maybe this whole floor, I don't know. Maybe that's where you put it.
Maybe that's where they put it.
So they find all this food, and Grace says, oh, my God. There's months worth of food here. And he says, and powdered milk. I have to assume they've got water on the nuclear side.
I would hope so, because those cans of oatmeal and powdered milk need that water.
Yeah, I guess there was enough water for the whole crew still on the ship. Okay.
Yeah.
They can mix the water and make milk for the baby.
Oh.
Cut to a campfire. There's a guy and a dog, and the dog looks awfully familiar. It looks like the dog that Emil, the bounty hunter.
Yes.
From one episode, episode one, season six.
His noble steed, his little doggy.
His doggy, yes. You just called him a horse. But either way,
there's no
mask on.
He's
so that's
loyal.
Fine. He's loyal. He looks down on the ground by the campfire. He sees the box, the head box that says Morgan Jones on it. And he reaches in the box and pulls out the head of Emil, the bounty hunter. The guy takes off his mask. Why? I thought for a second, maybe he wants to get a closer look at the walker.
Yeah.
But then he says to the walker, I'm sorry, brother, but the guy got the best of me today. This is the guy that was in that truck that was coming after Morgan.
Yes.
But if you look closely at him, it's the same actor. It's Emil's twin brother.
It is. And at first it took me a minute. I rewound it. I go, wait, what am I watching?
Yeah. If you remember when Emil killed the first guy by the campfire, he gave him beans to eat. And he says, oh, what's your recipe? He says, it's my brother's secret recipe.
Twin brother, that is.
So the two of them survived the apocalypse, living in the same region. And I guess we're both bounty hunters or both men of kick-ass ability.
Men of the land.
Men of the land. So somehow he found his brother's head in a box. I found a head in a box.
Where the hell did he find this?
Because didn't they put the head in a box? Didn't they give the head in a box to Ginny?
They certainly did. But then from there, where the hell did this guy find it?
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't Ginny have just disposed of the head?
You would think so. That's weird.
Or was Emil's brother part of Ginny's group, which we never saw? And wouldn't they have sent both of them out after Morgan? How did he get the box?
That's what I was wondering.
I don't know. Okay, so scenes from next week seems to be, or next episode.
Yes.
A lot of John Sr. and June and some woman strapped to a table. They're all inside the bunker. Remember they climbed down into the bunker on the hill? Not to be confused with Castle on a Hill from Ed Sheeran, who, by the way, has COVID. Speedy recovery.
Oh, I know he does. Feel better, Ed.
Morgan calls Strand on a walkie-talkie that somehow works during a nuclear fallout from a huge distance. And it's the same frequency. And he tells Strand, I'm coming for you.
Better than a tin can.
Yeah, right. Thank you. We got walkie-talkie bullshit called.
Oh.
Janovic, a regular, both of my podcasts, or two of my, all of my podcasts. I'm calling Radio BS between Morgan and Victor. He's calling bullshit on the use of walkie-talkies. He said, you can't interrupt someone talking on the radio. If both parties press the talk button on the radio, they won't hear each other.
I was going to say they cancel each other out.
Very good. Very good, Janovic. I did not catch that. So you get points for catching that. I was calling radio distance bullshit. But maybe they explain where he got the radio from.
Okay.
Maybe they go after Howard and take his radio. I don't know. But somehow they got a radio to maybe they jump back in the car. I don't know. But somehow they got a radio to talk to. They have to have gotten a radio from somebody. Maybe they were outside and they, I don't know. I give up. We'll have to see.
Okay. Pulled it out of a truck.
Bonus material on AMC Plus. Ian Goldberg, the showrunner, said the season is going to be about Morgan versus Strand and will show how much Strand wants to rub it in Morgan's face that he succeeded. Okay. Then riddle me this, Batman. If you can't wait to show Morgan that you succeeded, why didn't you invite him to the tower?
That's the thing. How are you going to show off if you won't let him in?
All you had to do was invite all three of them to the tower, right?
Then
when you get there,
out.
You show off the tower. You take him on a tour. You make him feel stupid. And then you kick him out on the street.
That would be the way to do it.
Right? And if you're worried about upsetting Grace, you're upsetting Grace but not letting him in the tower.
And now she's not coming either.
Right. How are you going to show you how successful you are if you don't bring him to the tower?
Oh, boy.
That's what I say. Believe it or not, I do like the show. I really do.
I do too, but we have to call out the obvious.
You got to call out the BS. That's
all. There was a lot.
If you don't love us for the BS, I know you love us for the SB, which is the snappy banter. So you get you get BS and SB.
SB.
You get both. No, SB, snappy banter.
SB, snappy banter.
Yeah, SB. You said SP?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, we're not talking about
we
the
know
snappy.
It's after 8 o'clock.
You don't want snappy P. You don't want
no,
the P to be snappy.
Snappy P.
whether you're talking about P as an abbreviation or P as in urine, you don't want your P to be snappy. Jamie, has your P ever been snappy?
Thankfully, no.
My D has not been snappy. All right, it's time to move on.
Oh, my God.
Jamie, it's definitely time to stop talking about letters.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. It's time, Jamie.
What time is it?
It's time to
time
shut
to
this
shut
shit down.
Time to shut this shit down.
You stink. That was terrible.
That was bad?
Yeah, it's fine. I won't touch it, I promise.
Oh, you're going to leave it in. I know it.
You know it.